Good morning, Mr. Khanna. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yeah, may it please the panel, I'll reserve 3 to 4 minutes.
All right. Please begin.
Sure. Thank you. So judges, this is a Rule 56 procedural appeal. I'm not asking the panel to calculate my HELOC payment or decide the ultimate payment amount. I'm asking whether the bankruptcy court could enter a sua sponte summary judgment for U.S. Bank while denying the time and discovery necessary to test U.S. Bank's asserted payment amount. The court denied my motion for summary judgment, then invoked Rule 56, subsection F, to enter judgment for the non-movement. It gave me 9 days. I requested an extension, filed a Rule 56, subsection D declaration identifying the precise bank-held records needed to respond. The court denied the extension because facts were supposedly undisputed. It denied discovery because facts supposedly will not change the analysis. That is closed loop. The bank's asserted amount became undisputed only because I was denied the opportunity or denied the discovery needed to dispute it. The remedy I'm requesting or asking is narrow, vacating, and remanding back to the lower court.
All right. And so what would happen in the bankruptcy court? Let's say we remanded. What relief would you be seeking in the bankruptcy court?
Your Honor, I would be seeking proper timeline for Rule 56F for my response, and then allowing me proper proper discovery under Rule 56D, which is on record under ER 118-121.
All right. All right. Thank you. Do you want to reserve the rest of your time, or do you have more that you would like to say?
Unless.
Any questions from anyone? No. All right. So we'll let you reserve. Then you can respond to what the appellee has to say.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. James Lewin, appearing for the mortgage law firm on behalf of U.S. Bank National Association. Your Honor, I guess responding immediately to Mr. Khanna's statement regarding discovery that was needed, I would state for the record that Mr. Khanna's objection to the notice of payment change was filed March 4th. Of 2025, and the hearing on the motion for summary judgment was not held until August 1st of 2025. So it appears that Mr. Khanna had 4 months within which to conduct discovery, if he needed it, on the issues that were raised, because the motion for summary judgment, which was ultimately granted in favor of U.S. Bank National Association, was essentially the same as the issues that were raised in his notice, objection to the notice of payment change and his motion for summary judgment. That would be the first. I think that the record adequately supports Judge Novak's decision under Rule 56F, because the debtor's confirmed plan is in effect, and pursuant to Section 8 or Paragraph 8 of the confirmed plan, the treatment of U.S. Bank's HELOC loan is unimpaired. Essentially, the plan provides that the terms of the note and deed of trust will remain unimpaired, and the plan does not intend to modify U.S. Bank's rights as to payments under the terms of the contract.
That's in Class 8 of the plan.
Class 8 of the plan, yes. Class 8 of the plan, basically it's the Northern District Form Plan. Class 8 are secured claims on which the debtor was not in default on the petition date. Debtor does not intend to modify the claimant's rights. Treatment of the claimant will remain, retain its lien until the underlying debt is paid in full under non-bankruptcy law. The debtor or third party shall make all regularly scheduled contractual payments due post-petition. So I believe that in this case, the regular payments that were due post-petition were essentially the payments which started to accrue after the end of the HELOC draw period, because the maturity date of the note is not until February 15th of 2045. So the payment did change, and the debtor is responsible for making the changed payment amount pursuant to his confirmed plan. One of the other issues that was raised by the debtor was 11 U.S.C. 1322C2, which provides if the last payment on the original payment schedule secured by the debtor's principal residence is due before the final payment under the plan, the debtor may pay as modified pursuant to Section 1325A5. In this case, by admission, the property is not the debtor's principal residence, so the statute really does not apply in that sense. The HELOC note did not mature during the term of the plan, and as stated previously, the maturity date of the note was February 15th of 2045. And additionally, as noted in the record, the property is fully secured. The fair market value is $400,000 pursuant to the debtor's schedules. And in an amended schedule he filed later, the fair market value is $350,000. And finally, the debtor presented no evidence that the payment amount was otherwise incorrect to the court. So movement at this point would submit the matter on that basis unless the court has any questions.
Questions?
No question.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
So, Your Honor, a couple of direct rebuttals. The first one being the motion for summary judgment was denied, and I conceded Emeryville was not my principal residence. I think the fact here is that U.S. Bank was given 71 days to respond to motion for summary judgment, and I was given 9 days for responding to a 56 subsection F notice asking me to defend granting U.S. Bank the summary judgment in their favor. I think the question before the court was, did I have all the components that were required to test the payment? I did not.
Well, it's not really about testing the payment, though. Right? Because you raised specific objections to their notice of payment change and then filed the summary judgment motion. And, you know, the factual bases that were asserted were just found by the court not to be in dispute. You don't own the home. And, you know, you requested some relief that's really not possible on an objection, which I think Judge Novak told you, you know, modification of your plan. You can't modify your plan through an objection to a notice of payment change. You know, you wanted to change the amount, change the timing of the payments when your plan provided for payments according to the terms of the note. So, you know, the question is, what else could you have needed to respond to the entry of summary judgment on, you know, facts that are basically the dictated result from the facts that were admitted in your own motion?
Thank you, Your Honor. With respect, the judge or the court did not stop by granting the motion for summary judgment or denying the motion for summary judgment. It went a little far. It issued a 56 subsection F notice allowing me to file my response against the judge issuing a sua sponte judgment in favor of U.S. Bank. Mm-hmm. I think that's the portion where the time given was less. I requested more time. The time was denied. I filed an appropriate 5060 declaration for discovery. That was denied. So that makes it closed loop. So based on the opportunity to develop a record, which was not given, the facts were deemed undisputed, and the judgment was granted. So I think that's the process where it was closed loop, deny time, deny discovery, and grant judgment on undisputed facts, which were disputed on the record. And most importantly, even the bank conceded in their own admission in Exhibit of Record 222 and 236 that discovery was needed. So a non-movement who's being granted the judgment admits that discovery is needed, reverses the path here and didn't really give me a chance to really test the payment. But the question is that the components that go into the payment are all in bank's possession. And it's laid out in ER 246, the note formula. You know, the principal balance, the accrued finance charges, and the interest. So, you know, one of these could have really created a tribal dispute. And I think from a and from a Anderson and Liberty Lobby perspective, that's exactly, you know, would have favored, things could have been different, but would have favored an opportunity to test and then allow the judge to make the ruling on a complete record.
All right, thank you. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Your Honor, the other point which I really want to mention here is the timing. The 71 days that were given to U.S. Bank versus 9 days. In those 71 days, the judge kept a case management conference and really laid out that the motion for summary judgment would be denied. So that gave U.S. Bank ample time to prepare their documentation or motion or response to the judge's, thought process. While when I was giving 9 days, I asked for more so I could then come back with my proper response and really allow the judge to look at the complete record and then have that outcome that we saw.
All right. Thank you very much for your argument.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So this matter will be submitted. We'll issue a decision as promptly as we can. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.